We've been talking with Jerry Gregoire. I'm sorry, I used to say Gregoire until I figured out that that's not it either, so I apologize. Jerry Gregoire with Redbird Flight Simulations. Now, we're going to bring into the conversation Rhett Ross, who's the president of Continental Motors and is the head of one of the first banner GA companies acquired by a Chinese firm. Mr. Ross has a rich perspective on how GA is evolving in China and what that means for those companies and for pilots in the United States. So, Rhett, thanks for coming by to talk with us today.
Well, it's my pleasure.
So your company is now owned by a Chinese firm, and you've been given the invitation to do something pretty unique. Talk about that.
Well, we were acquired by AVIC International Holding Corporation in April of last year, and so we've just come through our first year anniversary. And, you know, I was telling Jerry outside, it's a very pleasant change. They are looking at a long-line perspective of developing GA in China. And so we're not worried about what happens next quarter. We're worried about what happens in the next 5 years. China doesn't really have a GA infrastructure at all. They don't benefit from all the airfields that we inherited from World War II. They don't benefit from all of the barnstorming that happened in the 20s and 30s. So it is it's a greenfield opportunity. And it gives you a lot of chances to try many new things. And not bring in some of the legacy that we have here in North American Europe.
So where does that opportunity intersect the problem of not enough pilots in China for this infrastructure to catch on?
Well, China has no private pilots, period. So you start out and say there's absolutely no reason to own one of the planes that we're having the fun of watching here at EAA today. And they don't have near enough commercial pilots. As a matter of fact, I remember on one of my flights last year, the two pilots that came on board were both Americans, and I've been flying in China for years. How do you overcome that? You have to establish an infrastructure that recognizes, first and foremost, there's no airfields that you can go train at. So how do you get people interested in flying, and how do you get them started in flying? And that's where Redbird came in for us. Simulator-based training gives you the chance to start to meet that environment without having to have an airfield to begin with.
Now, at the same time, there are plenty of airfields that are under construction. I heard a quote unsubstantiated earlier this year that there may be as many as 100 airfields currently under construction all at the same time in China. Does that sound about right to you?
That's probably a little bit light, but it's pretty close.
Wow. And so James Fallows, who's the columnist for the writer for the Atlantic Monthly, released a book earlier this year called China Airborne, where he talks about some of the challenges and problems that you've talked about. So there's plenty of press and certainly an increasing amount of attention being given to what some of the opportunities are for American companies to kind of get involved in helping GA happen in China. So Redbird's a part of that. Now, I understand that Continental has... I guess, for lack of a better word, kind of a storefront experiment that's been created in Alabama. Talk about that.
Well, what Continental's looked at, and I take it from my own experience becoming a pilot a few years ago, you look at it as a businessman or anybody else, your day is full. And it becomes very hard to get to an airfield, unless you're like my company and you happen to be on one, to go do training either in the early morning or in the late evening or on the weekends. In addition, when you start looking at larger cities, New York, Chicago, Washington, D.C., if you work downtown, it's very hard to get out of downtown. If you've ever done traffic in D.C. or New York, it's 2, 3, 4 hours to get out of downtown in a car or by train. And then you go to China. And you can be, I've been at the Third Ring Road in Beijing, China, and it's taken nearly 2.5 hours with no traffic to get to the closest potential airfield. So what do you start to think about? Well, I want to deliver training. I want to deliver training to a broad population of people. You look at the simulator systems that Jerry and his company have developed, and you start to say, why do I have to have the simulator next to where I parked the airplane? Why can't I put the simulator, the instructors, and the ground school where the prospective pilots are every day? And so the model we've set up is a storefront-style model our prototype, kind of like Jerry, we're doing experimentation, trying to understand how the model works before we go mainstream. But the storefront model says put the simulators and your flight instructors close to where the population lives and works. That way, it's a few minutes commute to go do training after work or before work or on the weekend or for the wife who's dropped the kids off at school in the middle of the day. Then you can schedule to have the airplane meet them at the airport that's closest to where they live when they need to be in the airplane. And so far, it looks like it's been very well received. We've had good interest, strong interest from many different sectors within our test area. Like Jerry, we've run a number of our own company employees through, and they just love it. It's the flexibility is phenomenal.
Well, it's one of those things where you kind of smack your head with your hand and say, why didn't I think of that? Or why hasn't somebody thought of that? Because the airport nearest where I live that has a Redbird simulator, well, it's, you know, right there, you know, 50 feet from the aircraft. So while that particular airport is a privately owned one and so is not part of a larger business activity, they don't necessarily have another place or would it make sense for them to put a simulator in a more populated or, you know, retail-oriented area. But, you know, what you're talking about with transportation around major cities, it just makes an awful lot of sense. Now, how do you avoid, and maybe you don't want to, how do you avoid this becoming like a super arcade kind of thing where Richie Rich and his 15 best friends come over for his 16th birthday party, and they want to rent your facility out for, yeah, you know, for thrill rides?
You know, that's a funny thing you should say that, because when we built the Skyport in San Marcos, we built it also as an event center. Mm-hmm. So we actually allow a separate company to book 25 events in there in this show hangar with all of the simulators and everything else. I think we've got 3 wedding receptions scheduled in there, and, you know, city events, and Chick-fil-A had their national managers meeting in there. And it's ideal because this is how you introduce people to aviation. This is how you show them how it is. And we have a very different philosophy there, where most airports and FBOs and everybody else tries to keep visitors away from the airplanes. You know, don't go near it. We actually encourage people to put their hands on it, climb in them, sit in them, you know, rub them, you know, whatever you're going to do with them, just to kind of bring it really close to the, and you know, and Richie Rich aside, I mean, that is the demographic, right? I mean, you know, that has the wherewithal to do that kind of flying. Right?
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
and you have to ask the question, why do you want to avoid that?
Yeah.
It's exposure to if you had Richie Rich and his 15 best friends show up there, and one of those 15 best friends decided to become a pilot because of that birthday party.
Right.
Why do you want to avoid that?
Great point. You know, the head of Naval Aviator Training was in here for an interview yesterday. And we asked him, among other things, why he was here. And he said, well, because we know for sure that naval aviators in large numbers can point to seeing a naval aviation exhibit at an air show. And that was the thing that turned the key for them to lead them in the direction that they've gone. So you know, I guess it's not uncommon.
Yeah. Yeah.
So is there some specific plan or some clarity in the future that of how Continental is expected to play a role in advancing flight training in China? Or are you kind of feeling your way through it to see what works?
Well, no, there's a very strong expectation for us because we have the experience in running FBOs and we have a number of pilots. We have the association with Redbird and Jerry and his team. The interesting thing about China is there is huge excitement about general aviation. I liken it to people wanting to buy cars there starting 10 years ago. Everybody now has to have a car. There is a great pull for this, and so we're expected to find the model to help our parent provide a great deal of service into China. So they view our experiment here as the test bed to get some of the things correct. We have Chinese people on site. We're dealing with some of the translation issues. How do you take a set curriculum? How do you get that translated into Chinese so it's meaningful? How do we train flight instructors? so that they can give the course? How does Jerry adapt his systems so that people whose native and sole tongue is Chinese can actually interpret the gauges, the dials, and the information, as well as the Parrot system and stuff? So over the next couple of years, as we really roll this out, our big thing is going to be translating it, not necessarily in the literal definition of translation, but translating it to a culture that thinks differently, not less intelligently than we, but their thought processes and methods of learning and their language structure is different. So that's part of what all of this experimentation is.
Well, it sounds like it'll be an interesting few years, and whether on EAA radio in AirVenture 2013 or some other method, I'm certainly interested to hear how things progress and what you continue to find out about the challenges that you're taking on. So Rhett Ross from Continental Motors and Jerry Gregoire from Redbird Flight Simulations, thanks so much for coming by.
Thanks.